ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، أن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة. Each time we preface our discussions with Batul Hajjah like this, there is a regular reminder that the best way to do things is the way the Prophet did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we always say, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَأَحْسَنَ الْهَدِي، the best of guidance. Such that if we want to take to anything, if we want to take after anything from anybody, the best of the person to take after is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do so, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has also encouraged us to do so, alayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would say, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ. He would also say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِن تُفِعُوهُ تَعْتَدُوا. If you follow him, alayhi salatu wa sallam, if you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَعْتَدُوا, you are upon guidance. You are following him is being guided. So we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make doing so easy for us. This is what has motivated us to read from Shama'il. So that aside issues of Ahkam, specifically speaking, we have other issues that are connected to his person, regarding which, yes, we can say they are from his sunan that are connected to his person, khulkiyah or khalkiyah. So we can take from them. One single thing will change that sunnah for us. The sunan that are perhaps idea for him, that are his customs, his ways of doing something, they can become tashri'iyah for us with just one thing. And that is doing that thing with the intention of ittiba. It will change that sunnah of his that is idea for him, for us doing so, it will change it to sunnah tashri'iyah for us. For example, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wore imama, turban. The one who wears turban with the intention of doing it because he used to do so, alayhi salatu, the intention changes that turban for him from sunnatun adiyah, that is, it is basically, it changes it to sunnatun tashri'iyah. So he becomes rewarded for wearing turban. So the same thing in all of these issues of shama'il, most especially for those that are having to do with his khalqiyah, the way he's created. Ummu Hani radiallahu anha, the elder sister of Ali ibn Abi Talib, we read the hadith. That the day the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, on the day of Fathu Makkah, he made his head arba the fire, four plates. Prophet created his head. The hadith, we read it here. And it has riwayat in Sunan Abi Dawud. The ulama says this sunnah is adiyah. The people are upon it even before the Prophet came alayhi salam. They used to do so. And after him, they will do so. So the person does so for the intention of doing it to follow bita'at the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he will be rewarded for it. The same thing, the color of clothes to wear and how it is worn. So intention will change sunnatun adiyah for us to sunnatun التشريعية. So that to become on that what he says also, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ This في رَسُولِ اللَّهِ has to do with his sunan that are adiyya and his sunan that are also what التشريعية. He covers everything that has to do with the Prophet Muhammad. And it still falls under خير الحج for us. So we'll continue with what we are reading about his libas. We stop, for those of us who are using the mustafa, we stop on hadith 50. So we'll start with hadith 51, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. But for the rest of us, we stop on hadith what? 59. So we'll start from hadith. This hadith is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. And it was reported from him, from one of his students from amongst the Tabi'un, Al-Imam Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sadisi, rahimahullah, also one of the students of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Qatada ibn Di'ama, radiyallahu, rahimahullah, reported this hadith from Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, that كَانَ أَحَبَّ الثِّيَابِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَلْبَسُهُ الْحِبَرَ كَانَ أَحَبَّ الثِّيَابِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَلْبَسُهُ الْحِبَرَ This hadith is reported, like we said, from Anas ibn Malik by Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sadisi. We'll mention one issue there. Imam Qatada is, like the scholars of hadith will say, a mudallis. And he has reported that hadith with an-ana. He said, an-ana ibn Malik. So a conscious hadithi mind will ask the question that, but Qatada ibn Di'ama is mudallis, or called an-ana, he is mudallis. And he has reported this hadith with an-ana. The condition, if somebody is a mudallis, for his report to be accepted is that يصرح بالتحديث أو الإخبار. He must say حدثني أو حدثنا أو أخبرني أو أخبرنا أو سمعت. Any of these that will indicate that he has actually heard that report. But here Al-Imam Qatada reported this hadith with an-an. Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar responded and said, This answer by Anas ibn Malik, a response to a question by Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadis. It was Qatada rahimahullah that was asking Anas ibn Malik about the dressing of the Prophet Muhammad. So to respond to the question of Qatada, Anas ibn Malik said this thing. So the fact that he was the one asking him, we don't need to ask whether he actually heard this report from Anas ibn Malik or not. So we are starting because of the way the report has come, that the report has been heard actually by Qatada ibn Di'ama. So he said, radiyallahu anhu, that أَحَبَّتْ كَانَ أَحَبَّ الثِّيَابِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَلْبَسُهُ الْحِبَرَ The most beloved of clothes to the Prophet or to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The most beloved of clothes to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, yalbasuhu, that he wears, is what? Al-Hibara. Al-Hibara, if you look at the Hamish that was presented by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, said the kasri al-ha, that ha, he must have a kasra, wa fathi al-ba, and the ba is with fatha. So you have hiba. So, it says وَهِيَ ثِيَابٌ مِّن نَوْعِ بُرُودِ الْيَمَنِ It's a cloth like the burd from the people of Yemen. It's a garment, like a garment. You know, if you cut a cloth, you want to sew it. It's just open cloth like that. But it's usually from Yemen. And Al-Imam Ibn Battal rahimahullah said وَكَانَتْ أَشْرَفُ الثِّيَابُ For the people of Yemen, الْحِبَرَ is from the best of clothes for the people of Yemen. Look at the Prophet Muhammad. It's like saying he was wearing the best of clothes, if we want to say in our own terminology today. Someone says, okay, in Dubai, what is the best clothes they wear there? Buy it, bring it for me. People say, Ustaz, subhanallah, zuhud, mafi zuhuda. The Prophet used to wear the most ashraf of siyam. Ibn Battal, rahimahullah. I say, yes, that burd, yes, is from the people of Yemen. But among them is from the best of their clothes they wore in Yemen. He said, "Tutakhazu min kitanin," that cloth, that bowl, is made from kitan, from linen, or cotton, or from cotton. Either made from linen, we know what linen is. We know how expensive it is, especially if it is pure linen. Because sometimes they mix linen with rayon, or polyester. But if you have pure linen and all that, you know how expensive it is going to be. Or it is made from cotton. But it has a feature. They said it is what? Muhabbaratun. Ay muzayyanatun. It is designed. It is a designed cloth. So let not a person from Jama'at al-Tabliq tell me that the Prophet did not used to wear clothes that are designed. He says the cloth is what? Muhabbaratun. Ay muzayyanatun. The cloth is designed. And that is why Al-Imam al-Harawi said that cloth is mushiyatun mukhaffatun. Mushiyatun, embroidered, mukhaffatun, with stripes. It is what? Embroidered with what? With stripes, mukhaffatun. Al-Imam al-Harwi said that, rahimahullah. And Al-Imam al-Dawudi, rahimahullah, he said, "Lawnuha akhdar." Its cloth, its color is usually what? Akhdar, green. And don't forget, the best of the colors to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? Is green. So the cloth may be green. And Imam al-Baqpuri rahimahullah in Tuhfat al-Ahwazi, he said it could also be what? Red or blue. It could be green, it could be red, and it could be what? Blue. Made from what or what? From silk or from cotton. And it is what? Mushiyatun mukhattab. It is what? Embroidered and what? Striped. This was the messenger's clothes and he liked it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Combine this, he's wearing this clothes to his looks that we have described. You see that when they say they have not seen something as handsome as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is nothing to be like. Somebody is wearing a well-embroidered clothes, the best of clothes from Yemen, it would mean it was even imported. Yes, it was imported and he was wearing it, alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith, if we look at it to the hadith of Umm Salama, that كَانَ أَحَبَّ ثِيَابِ لَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَلْبَسُهُ الْقَمِيسِ. And here, كَانَ أَحَبُّ ثِيَابِ لَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَلْبَسُهُ الْحِبَرَ. The most beloved clothes, قَمِيس. The most beloved clothes, حِبَرَ. Ulama say, this report is coming from Umm Salama that he wore قَمِيس. Yes, she saw him wearing qamis all the time. And she's his wife. But Anas ibn Malik is his servant. He saw him also wearing this all the time. Wearing shibara all the time. So we say, okay, he would wear qamis. And to Umar Salama radiallahu anha, I think he likes the qamis more. So she's telling us what she feels he likes more. And from the report of Anas ibn Malik, he saw him also wearing the shibara. So he is also telling us what he thinks he likes more. This is common even amongst us. There are brothers who wear more clothes sometimes. They also wear some other clothes. Sometimes if they wear the labia, you think the best of clothes they like is all through the labia. Sometimes they start wearing brocade again. All the time they wear brocade. Sometimes they start wearing like that. And you know the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he's always like this and like that. Even in fast, he will fast. Sometimes he will leave the fast. And sometimes he will leave the fast. So much that Aisha said radiallahu anha, to be said he will not fast or he's not fasting. Like that. Tawassut. Wa akhira al-umuri awsatuha. In the best of affairs is what? The middle course. So sometimes he will wear the qamis all the time. And sometimes he will wear the shibara all the time. So each of them reported what was clear to him or to her to be the best of clothes that he likes. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And al-Imam al-Jazari rahimahullah, he says, "Fihi dalilun ala istihbabi lubsi al-hibra." This is evidence that points to the recommendation or to the fact that it is superiority to wear what? Al-hibra. Wa ala jawazi lubsi al-mukhaffat. And it shows us that it's also permissible for us to wear clothes that are what? Striped. I remember vividly, we used to believe that the best clothes are those that are not striped. That non-striped clothes, that is the sunnah. But where that sunnah came that time, Allahu A'lam, where that kind of teaching came from. But here he is. His clothes is what? Mukhaffafa, stretch. Not only that, he does what he embraced. So sometimes people see an embroidery. There is even the riwayah of Asma bin Salibatri. That one is in Adab al-Mufrad. It happened after the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The reporter at the Tabi'i was saying that she brought out the clothes to show to them that, look, this is from the clothes of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And that the clothes was throughout its tail, embroidered, thickly embroidered. Its tail, the tail, the edges of the clothes were embroidered throughout of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is from Sunnah to do that. And there are other narrations in the Sunnah that makes us understand that this is from our deen. He says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is from Izzah. It's from Izzah. As long as the one who buys those clothes does so with halal funds, and he's not sowing them to exceed where it should be. We'll mention that there's a hadith connected to that here, in this bab. So as long as the clothes also is not from those clothes that is prohibited for certain sets of people like silk, or from certain colors like mu'asfar, orange, or yellow that's tending towards red, then it's permissible for him. More so if it's a cloth that brings pizza to him, to the person wearing it. More so if he has to have to sit down with visitors who are respected people from where they are coming from. As Umar radiallahu anhu encouraged him, mentioned also by Imam Bukhari in his Adab al-Mufrad. Umar radiallahu anhu came to him with a cloth, nice silk cloth. So where is this when visitors come to you? Say, no, this is to the cloth of man la khalaqa lahu. Ulama say, yes, he refused the cloth, but he did not deny the fact that he should dress properly when visitors appear to him. So our deen is not a deen of dirty people oozing with smell. I also remember that before now, people used to think that the more a person is dirty, the more he's a wali. Laugh. They might see somebody dirty and say, don't try, we may be a wali. You've not heard things like that. Wali. Laugh. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and he likes beauty. He likes beauty. And in the completion of that hadith, it says, وَيُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. يُحِبُّ. This is from the sifat of Allah that is sababiyya. That Allah has attributes that it is when something happens that that attribute comes. The sifat al-fa'iliyya al-sababiyya. It is the fail of Allah, يُحِبُّ. And it is sababiyya لِأَنَّ اللَّهُ السَّبَبُ. وَسَبَبُهُ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَيْكَ. So it is from ibadah. That's when Allah blesses you, wear nice clothes, not being dirty. يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. So it's not just هُوَ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَرَاكَ قَائِمًا فِي اللَّيْلِ. Not only that. Who are you doing? You are offering your mercy, Ali. So it is from Allah's mercy that one dresses properly. He said in the completion of that hadith, وَيُبْغِضُ الْبَعْثَ وَالتَّبَاؤُثَ. يُبْغِضُ الْبَعْثَ. Allah hates, Allah detests being coarse in character and look. Allah hates it. Being dirty in look, unkept, not well dressed, not appearing nicely. Allah hates it. Wattaba'us, and behaving like that. The way people behave like that is, some people are really wretched and in penury, they are just like that. Even when not having money does not mean being dirty. There are two different things. Not having money does not necessarily mean being dirty. So he hates the one who has, but deliberately looks unkept. Of course, that is the opposite of yuridu an yara athara ni'matihi ala 'abdihi. It also means by this hadith that he hates not to see the athar of his name on you. Nafsan min hadha al-hadith li'annahu yubghidu al-ba'tha wat-taba'us. He hates al-ba'th and at-taba'us. Al-ba'th is looking unkempt, Tabaut is being able to change, being able, having the ability not to look like that, but behaving like that. Allah is. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Anas ibn Malik said, radiallahu anhu, that kana ahabba siyadi ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yalbasuhu al-hibra. So it's not that he wore it one day. Ra'aytuhu yawma, la ahabbu siyab. He wears it all. Alayhi salatu wasalam. For the rest of us, the next hadith is hadith number 61. But for those of us reading from the Muftasar, the hadith is 52. Some of the scholars have said that this hibara is from the clothes of Al-Jannah. That because Allah said in the Quran that وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَهُمْ فِي رَوْضَةٍ يُحْضَرُونَ. Those who الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, who do good deeds and act upon righteousness, فَهُمْ فِي رَوْضَةٍ, they are going to be rewarded with Al-Jannah, or they will be in Al-Jannah, يُحْضَرُونَ, dressed in hibara. So some of the ulama say that is why the Prophet likes that clothes, alayhi salam. Some others say no, he likes it because it is neat. But it can be for all the reasons put together. The next hadith is 52 for us with Muqtasa. An Aun ibn Abi Juhayfa an Abihi qala رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعليه حلة حمراء كأني أنظر إلى بريق ساقيه. عن عون ابن أبي جحيفة عن أبيه قال رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعليه حلة حمراء كأني أنظر إلى بريق ساقيه. قال سفيان أراها حبرة. Aun ibn Abi Juhayfa, a tabi'i, reported from his father, Abu Juhayfa, who is a sahaba. He said, Ra'aytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa alayhi wa haliyah. Wa alayhi hullatun hamra. And he was wearing a reddish hullah, garment. The hullah, like we said, most of these clothes are open clothes. They are like rida or iza, open clothes. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was wounding around himself, hullatun hamra, a reddish garment. He was putting it around himself. So while stating that, he says, Ka'anni anzur ila bariqi saqihi, as if I'm looking. You know, sometimes you describe something and the image of what you are describing comes to your mind. It will be as if, yes, you are looking at what you are describing. He says, it's as if anzur ila bariqi saqihi, I'm looking at the brightness of his saq, the brightness of his chin. Meaning that clothes was not covering his chin. Because he had told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that izaratul mu'min misfusak. The izar, the lower garment of the believer, stops at half of the chin. So that is where it should be. So that companion is telling us, when I was looking at him, the chin was bright. Yes, the garment he was putting on himself was reddish. But I was seeing below it his sack, because his sack was exposed, and it is prohibited to cover all of the sack. It is prohibited to cover all of it because the sack ends immediately after the Ka'bah. And he says, لا خير فيما زاد على الكعبين. There is no benefit in it. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah, he says, ما أسفل من الكعبين من الإزار في النار. The one which goes below it. Don't ask, is it the clothes that will be in the fire or the leg? All of it. Sinna. So this hadith is also evidence that his sack was exposed. because he was saying that كأني أنظر إلى بريق that is بياض ساقيه فسيب بريق like the brightness of his sack. I was looking at it. So then that day the Prophet's sack عليه الصلاة والسلام was exposed. عليه الصلاة والسلام. The sack is shame. It's shame. What did I call it? Shame. I said shame. Did I call it shame? It is shame. S-H-I-N. The shin. Shin bone. The bone between the knee and the ankle. We call it shin bone. The next hadith, now, but Sufyan, if you look at that isnad, those of us who have it, hadith number 61, it said, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدِ بْنُ غَيْلَانِ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّزَاقِ بْنُ حَمَّامُ الصَّنْعَانِ حَدَّثَنَا Sufyan. There are two Sufyan that are very common among the scholars of hadith, most common. There are others, so there is Sufyan al-Sawri. Sufyan ibn Uyayna. This report is from Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. So waqala Sufyan. Sufyan here is who? Al-Imam Sufyan. Ibn Yazid ibn Masruq al-Thawri. Rahimahullah. He said, Araha Hibra. I think that cloth, that hullah, that garment, that reddish garment is Hibra. His opinion of that garment is that it is still Hibra. You know, we said the Hibra could be of how many colors? Could be green, it could be blue, it could also be what? Red. So if Sufyan al-Thawri said, I think that cloth he said he saw him upon was Hibra. The next hadith is hadith 62 for the rest of us. But it is not in our Mukhtasar. Because it had been mentioned in the third hadith, that is the hadith of Al-Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu. It's hadith 3 for us in the Mukhtasar. For you too, it's also hadith 3. But one of the conditions of Iqtisar is that when the hadith is repeated, it does not repeat it because it's summarizing. So that's why you not find it in our Mukhtasar. And we had read the hadith of Bara bin Azib. We just read it, translate it, explain whatever is beneficial regarding this bab. And then we proceed. Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhuma said, ما رأيت أحدا من الناس أحسن في حلة حمراء من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما رأيت أحدا من الناس. I have not seen anyone amongst people أحسن في حلة حمراء, who is handsome while wearing the حلة حمراء, while wearing the reddish hullah, the reddish garment, that Imam Sufyan al-Thawri is telling us that it could be from what? Al-Hibra. I've not seen anybody wearing that cloth that is as handsome may Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the Prophet Muhammad, or more than the Prophet Muhammad. And كانت جمته, more so when his Jumma, we know what his Jumma is. We know what his Jumma is. What is his Jumma? How he kept it. One of the ways of keeping his hair. It gets long and it touches what? His shoulders. And كانت جمته لتضرب قريبا من منكبيه. More so when his Jumma is either near or touches his what? Two shoulders. He looks more handsome. So when he's wearing the Jumma and it is touching his two shoulders, and then he's wearing this hullatun hamra, he's looking very handsome. And I've never seen anything as handsome as him while wearing the hullatun hamra. He was never a dirty person, alayhi salatu wasalam. Put this in your mind. He was always good looking. If he were a dirty person, the mushrikun would have abused him with it. They would have said it of him, that you dirty idiot. They never said it. If he were a dirty, person, A'udhu Billah, he would have abused him with it. He was all ever clean, all the time, and looking well, looking nice, looking neat. Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiban. So be dirty is not Islam. Talk less of it being from the aspects of being a wali of Allah. No. There is no anything like wali in being dirty. Yes, there is al-badada in iman. But that is to make you understand that sometimes he's busy with some other things. But you know, when you say a man is dirty, it does not mean that sometimes he's not clean. But it means that most of the time when he's seen, he's a dirty person. Even though we know to be dirty. When you see them, sometimes they are clean. You say, ah, today you wear fine clothes. They say, ah. But what you can say of him, generally speaking, is what? Being dirty. He was not like that, alayhissalam. What you can say of him, generally, is being clean and good looking at all times. Alayhissalam. The next hadith for the rest of us is hadith 63. But it is not also in our Mukhtasar because he had mentioned it. And that is from the hadith of Abu Rimsa. I think hadith 42 for us. And for the rest of us, Abu Rimsa, we remember the hadith of Abu Rimsa. Somebody should tell us something about Abu Rimsa. Somebody should remind us something about Abu Rimsa. Aywa, Abu Rimsa said, tell me. Tell me what? Tell me ribab. Don't forget. Abu Rimsa said, tell me. Taymur ribab. And we know what Taymur ribab is, cool? We know what Taymur ribab is. One of them is the name of his tribe because there are a lot of Taymi, Banu Taym, there are many. There is Taymur Lat, there is Taymur ribab, and others amongst them. But Taymur Lat is in change to Taymur Law. You know, Allah is the name of a goddess they worship. So the hadith is the hadith of Abu Rimsa. He says, Ra'aytu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa alayhi burdani akhbaran. Alayhi burdan akhbaran. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was wearing two bird, two garments. But these garments are what? Akhbaran. They are green, two green garments. وَعَلَيْهِ مَذَا بُرْدَان أَحْمَرَان. The Prophet was wearing أَحْضَرَان. The Prophet was wearing two green garments. عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَّلَامُ. So it meant that he may wear other colors. The other hadith is the hadith of قَيْلَ بِنْتُ مَخْرَمَةً. It's on hadith 53 for the rest of us. In it he says, An Qaylata binti Makhramata qalat, Ra'aytu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi asmal muliyatayn kanata bi za'faran wa qad nafadathu. They say, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ قِصَّةٌ طَوِيلَةٌ عَنْ قَيْلَ بِنْتِ مَخْرَمَةَ قَالَتْ رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَعَلَيْهِ أَسْمَالُ مُلِيَّتَيْنِ كَانَتَا بِزَعْفَرَانِ وَقَدْ نَفَضَتْهُ. وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ قِصَّةٌ طَوِيلَةٌ. This hadith, the first opinion of Shaykh al-Albani is the one you have seen here, that the hadith is da'if. And that's what most other people rule. What did they rule in your book? Da'if. It's naduhu da'if. Who are da'if? Like in al-Isnad al-Sahih. Huwa qalahu, he said it, Sayyid Imran said it following Shaykh al-Albani. Shaykh al-Albani changed his opinion. He didn't change his own. or he may not have known that Sheikh Al-Albani is in the Sufina. So if we go to he mentioned something, Sayyid Imran. هو حسنه في صحيح الترمذي. لا حسنه في صحيح سنن أبي داود ونقله في صحيح الترمذي. التحسين itself is in صحيح سنن أبي داود. وهي من نقل in صحيح سنن الترمذي. At the same time, if he agrees to that tafsir or tahsin, it should be his first statement here. Because it is the same isnad. And it is the same illah that he found that he changed his opinion upon. So he's saying isnad al-udha, isnad al-sahih. Or, another thing what he has done here could mean is that he is ruling that it is da'if, even when Sheikh Al-Albani has ruled that it is hasan. He said, Sayyid Imran Ko, he said, أخرجه الترمذي في الأدب وقال أبو إيسى رفاعي الإمام الترمذي حديث قيلة لا نعرفه إلا من حديث عبد الله بن حسان. قلت وعبد الله بن حسان مقبول كما قال الحافظ في التقريب وحسنه شيخنا الألباني في صحيح الترمذي. خلاص. In fact, what he's saying here is appearing as if he does not believe that the hadith is hasan. Because what he's saying, he says Ibn Hajar said that the hadith is maqbool. And then Imam al-Tirmidhi says, لا نعرفه إلا من حديث عبد الله بن حسان. And عبد الله بن حسان is maqbool. يعني لا يقبل حديثه إلا إذا توضع. His hadith is not accepted except if it has a متابعة or a شاهد. And this hadith, Tirmidhi said, رحمه الله, that لا نعرفه إلا من حديثه. Nobody has reported it except him. So, and he is maqbool. His hadith is not accepted except in the mutaba'ah. And we are saying that it does not have a mutaba'ah. What does that mean? What does it mean? Huh? No. ذكرنا ذلك. هو انفرد به. وما انفراده بالحديث. هو يقول أن الرجل الذي انفرد بالحديث مقبول. ما معناه؟ أن الحديث ضعيف. نفع يسأل إسناده ضعيف. If he agrees that the hadith is hasan, he will say it is not hasan or the hadith is hasan. Or he just wanted to show the two. Yes, I know that there is a statement that it is hasan, but me, I'm saying that it is da'if. It could mean many things. Because he didn't clearly state where he belongs here. In any case, Sheikh Al-Albani said, Rahimahullah, this is the eighth volume of Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud. He had ruled here that it is da'if. And because we are following his ahkam, let's read what he said, rahmahullah. It's beneficial. He said, قلت, I say, Sheikh Al-Albani, وَهَذَا إِسْنَادٌ حَسَنٌ فِي مَا بَدَى لِي أَخِيرًا. This isnad, that he said, isnad who da'if, that I said, it's the same isnad. He says, وَهَذَا إِسْنَادٌ حَسَنٌ فِي مَا بَدَى لِي أَخِيرًا. This isnad is hasan, based on what became clear to me later on. وَقَدْ كُنْتُ دَعَفْتُهُ. I used to grade this hadith to be weak. فِي بَعْدِ مُؤَلَّفَاتِ. In some of my works, مِنْهَا مُخْتَصَرُ الشَّمَائِ. From that is the مُخْتَصَرُ الشَّمَائِ. This is our book we are reading. He says, وَكَانَتْ حُجَّتِي يَوْمَئِذٍ. The reason why I was doing so that time, أَنَّ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنَ حَسَّانْ هَذَا لم يذكر الحافظ في التحذيب لم يذكره الحافظ في التحذيب. الإمام الحافظ ابن حجر did not mention him. لم يذكر الحافظ في التحذيب توثيقه عن أحد من المتقدمين. الإمام الحافظ ابن حجر did not mention any of the past scholars who have mentioned him to be an authentic reporter of hadith. وقال مقبول وقال فيه مقبول. Ibn Hajar said it's maqbool. statement that Sayyid Imran quoted. ثم ظهر لي. Later it became clear to me. أن ابن حبان قد أورده في الثقات. That Imam ibn Hibban mentioned this. Who? Abdullah ibn Hassan in his book الثقات. على ما حققته في كتابي الجديد. Based on what I have verified in my new book, تيسير الانتفاع. This book is still not out still today. But to be out soon, inshallah. He said, في كتابي الجديد تيسير الانتفاع الخلان بثقات ابن حبان. Based on my new book that I have written, تيسير الانتفاع. We would have mentioned a few things about what he himself said about this book. Very beneficial book, تيسير الانتفاع. So based on my work in that book, I found out that that hadith, that reporter is mentioned in that book by Ibn Hibban. يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ لِي إِتْمَامُهُ. May Allah make the completion of the book easy for me. وَكُنْتُ ذَكَرْتُ فِي الْمُخْتَصَرِ. I had mentioned in Mukhtasar, this book we are reading, Shama'il Tirmidhi, أَنَّهُ رَوَى عَنْهُ جَمْءٌ مِنَ الثِّقَاتِ. Yes, some reliable people amongst the scholars have reported hadith from him. وَأَزِيدُ هُنَا فَأَقُولُ. I will mention some more things about him that got him to leave the status of being a maqbool to a saduq ala al-aqwal hasan al-hadith. He says, وَفِيهِمْ بَعْضُ الْحُفَّاظِ. From among those who have reported his hadith are some learned scholars, huffaz, the highest level a person can get to in the science of hadith. كَالطَّيَالِسِ, like al-imam al-tayalisi, وَعَفَّان ibn Muslim, in the Tirmidhi, وَالطَّبَرَانِ, وَغَيْرِهِ مَا. فَانْظُرُ التَّيْسِرِ. Go and see my book. التَّيْسِرِ, I've mentioned all of them there. He says, فَلَمَّا وَقَفْتُ عَلَى ذَلِكِ. When I came across that, مَعَ تَوْثِيكِ الزَّهَبِ إِيَّاهُ. In addition to the fact that Imam al-Zahabi mentioned him to be a seeker, I came across that one too. He says, اِتْمَعْنَنْتُ. اِتْمَعَنَّتْ نَفْسِي لِتَحْسِينِ حَدِيثِهِ. My mind became rested. I became comfortable to say that this hadith is what? Hassan. وَزْدَدْتُ اِتْمِنَانًا حِينَ رَأَيْتُ ابْنَ عَبْدِ الْبَرِ. My calmness, my confidence to have graded the hadith Hassan increased when I saw Al-Imam ibn Abd al-Barr, additional knowledge. In addition to what he had known when he was working on Trinity, on Shama'i. He said, I saw Ibn Abd al-Barr fi tarjumatihi qila ta'adhihi min al-isti'ab. While he was describing qila in his biography, in his book, al-isti'ab. Is a book Ibn Abd al-Barr wrote on the companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. قَدْ قَالَ فِي حَدِيثِهَا هَذَا. He said regarding this hadith of Has, إِنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ. That the hadith is what? Hassan. وَأَقَرَّهُ الْحَافِظِ. Ibn Hajar also cited it in Al-Isaba and affirmed it. بَلْ نَقَلَ الشَّيْخ عَلِي قَارِي. Imam Ali Qari, Mula Ali Qari, one of the elder scholars of hadith from Hind, from India, very learned. He has very beneficial work in the science of hadith. From that is Sharh al-Shama'il. He also did a sharh of this book we are reading. So when I saw him, he also said, quoting Ibn Hajar, أنه قال رواه الطبراني بسند لا بحث فيه. Imam al-Tabrani reported the hadith. It's a chain of transmission. لا بحث فيه. It's good enough. So this statement makes us understand that the Sheikh did not only say the hadith is Hassan. We have read this because some of the people will have the Shama'il and not have this update about what has happened. That is why we have read it. Many people listen to most of these things. So they may have Shama'il, but they may not have seen an upgrade of what he said. That statement is in the 8th volume of Sayyid Sunan Abi Dawud. But if you also have Taraju al-Allam al-Albani by Muhammad ibn Hassan Abdul Hamid al-Sheikh, you'll see it in the 4th volume, page 164. Very beneficial. He had said the hadith is da'if, but he's now saying that the hadith is what? Hassan. So we agree, inshallah, the hadith is Hassan. What does it contain? فرأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعليه أسمال مليتين. I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عليه أسمال. He was wearing أسمال مليتين. أسمال, سمال means clothes, a patch. A patch. Somebody who has a clothes is patch. That is أسمال. But مليتين is from mula'a, like a garment also, melhafa, a white cloth, like a rida. So what they are saying is, asmal muliyatain, a garment that is white, but that has what? Asmal. They say this is idafa to bayaniya. They make idafa of asmal to muliyatain, two small mula'a, two small melhafa, melhafatain. Two small garments, open clothes. But these clothes have what? A smile. They have patches. The two garments have what? A smile. Muliyatain. Bizafaran. Kanata bizafaran. These two garments, they are what? They are dyed with what? Saffron. You know saffron? It's also called saffron in English. It's like orange yellow kind of. It's saffron. That's the color of the cloth he was wearing. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Waqad nafadathu. Yani these za'faran had gone. Some of it had gone. That is, the cloth itself was like you know, a new cloth. Started getting fade. Nafadatu. The za'faran nafadat has started going off the clothes. Two attributes here. The first one is samal. The fact that the clothes is what? Patched. And the second one is what? The clothes are faded. So who has our hand? So sometimes you can seem like this one. Don't forget al-bazazat min al-iman. Go. So he was making bazaza here, alayhi salatu wasalam. That is taking things easy. I'm also a prophet sent to the poor people too. So he identified with them. It doesn't mean he couldn't get all he wants whenever he wanted. Yes, because he was told to request for whatever he wanted of the dunya. Say, hey. So if you wanted it, he would say, I want it now, it will come. Allah will give it to you. Alayhi salam. So, but in being easy, like this and like that sometimes. Sometimes like this, sometimes like that. But most of the times, as even the narrations say, appear to show. Because he said, I saw him like that. But when he says, Ahabdu Siyah, the best thing to him, he likes wearing it all the time. It showed that he was more in those nice green colored clothes, reddish colored clothes, hebara, than in the burda that are nice looking than these clothes. But sometimes he wore them too. So if the person does not have except this, he wore it too. That's also sunnah. The next hadith is Hadith 65. But it did not end. It said, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ كِسَّةٌ طَوِيلَةٌ الْإِمَامِ ابْنُ حَجَرُ الْمَكِّي الْهَيْثَمِ. ابن حَجَرُ الْهَيْثَمِ is الْمَكِّي الْمَالِكِ. He said, رحمه الله. He says, رواها الطبراني. This hadith is also reported by Imam الطبراني. بِسَنَدِ اللَّهَ بَعَثَ بِهِ. And its chain of translation is reliable. وتركها, but الإمام الترمذي left that lengthy قصة طويلة. He left it, يعني الترمذي, لعدم مناسبتها لما هو فيه, because it is not connected to what he is talking about. فنتركها. So we are also going to leave that قصة طويلة. So you don't ask me, what is the قصة طويلة? أنا تركتها كما تركها الإمام الترمذي. The next hadith for the rest of us is hadith 65. But for those of us reading from the Mukhtasar, is hadith 54. It is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Habr al-Ummah. You see now, Habr and Hibar, they are different. If the Ha has a fatha, we are talking about somebody mahirun fil ilm, Habr. But when it is he, it is talking about the cloth. That is the difference between the two. Ibn Abbas is Habr al-Ummah. رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said عليكم بالبياض من الثياب ليلبسها أحياؤكم وكفنوا فيها موتاكم فإنها من خير ثيابكم. Ibn Abbas said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بالبياض من الثياب ليلبسها أحياؤكم وكفنوا فيها موتاكم فإنها من خير ثيابكم. He says عليكم بالبياض, stick to wearing the bayad, stick to wearing white clothes, wear white clothes, of your clothes wear white. So he also encouraging us to wear what? White. So we have heard he likes wearing hibra. He likes wearing burda. He likes wearing qamis and all of that. He also ordered wearing, alayhi salatu wasalam, white clothes. He says, لِيَلْبِسَهَا أَحْيَاءُكُمْ. Let those, when you are alive, wear it. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ. And shroud your dead ones in it. Your dead ones, shroud them in white. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ خَيْرِ سِيَادِكُمْ, because it is from the best of your clothes. مِنْ خَيْرِ سِيَادِكُمْ. One of the ulama say, he didn't say فَإِنَّهَا خَيْرُ سِيَادِكُمْ. He said فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ لِلتَّبْعِيدِ خَيْرِ سِيَادِكُمْ. It is from the best of clothes that you can wear, and from the best of clothes that with which you can shroud your dead ones. There is a very important benefit that Al-Imam Al-Haythami mentioned when he said عليكم بالبياض من الثياب. He says يعني البياض البالغ في البياض. البياض البالغ في البياض. He said why he said عليكم بالبياض من الثياب, wear white clothes. He said what it means is that wear clothes that البالغ في البياض. البالغ البياض من الثياب. Very, very clear white clothes. So don't say they say we should wear white clothes and the cloth is red already. Keep it clean. And it is from the benefits. We read the next hadith so that we can connect the two hadiths together. The second hadith is the hadith of Samra bin Jundab. رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It says, ألبس البياض. فإنها أطهر وأطيب وكفنوا فيها موتاكم. You see, ألبس البياض, wear white. فإنها أطهر. They say the ulama say it is أطهر, it is cleaner. They say because if there is any death that comes to it, you see it. If you are wearing a white cloth, clearly white, whatever death comes to you, you see it. And what you like to do when you see such things is that to do what? To remove it. No matter how small, you like to remove it. So فَإِنَّهَا أَطْهَرُ. The cloth itself will make you like to keep clean. If someone wants to touch you, say, hey, say sorry, you are wearing white. Others too like to make you remain clean. You know, things like that happen. Someone wants to ordinarily do something, but he sees that you are wearing, say sorry, you are wearing white. So فَإِنَّهَا أَطْهَرُ. The cloth itself brings about remaining pure. So you can see purity there, remaining clean. You can see cleanliness there. Because it is cleaner and it helps maintain cleanliness. وَأَطْيَبُ. And it is also better. The ulama say it is also better because that most of the times white clothes don't lead to kibr and khuyala. White clothes. Usually they don't lead to that. If you are attending a program where there are a lot of people of dunya and you wear a shada, Once you arrive there, they classify your gender. Once you reach there, they classify the gender. But if it is our Almadi Jalabia, white, pure white, it is not classified. Everybody says Ustaz. Cool? No classification. And you too, you will not be classing the shedda of the rest of the people. So you are not classed, and you are not also classing. So you remove this kuyala, this arrogance that's connected to looking neat, white, simple white clothes, remove it. So ulama say that is the reason why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that it is what? Atyab, it is athar, and it is atyab. And don't forget, the day Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the companions were there, he chose white. It means that there is a lot of benefit in wearing white. And it was not just white, it was what? Shadeedul bayad. So that's why they say, that white they are saying, it's not just white, it's shadeedul bayad, pure white. So, he says, let's wear it. He says, لِيَلْبِسَهَا أَحْيَاءُكُمْ. You wear it when you are alive. Let your living ones wear it. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ. And dress, shroud your dead ones in it. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ خَيْرِ ثِيَابِكُمْ. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ خَيْرِ ثِيَابِكُمْ لِأَنَّهَا أَطْهَرُ وَأَطْيَابِ. Because it is small, it is cleaner, and it is better to wear white clothes. So when we wear white clothes, don't forget, from the major intentions of wearing the white clothes is to do what? To keep clean and humble. To keep clean and humble. May Allah make us humble people. The next hadith is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ذات غداة وعليه نرس من شعر أسود. خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ذات غداة وعليه نرس من شعر أسود. She said, radiallahu anha, that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out in one very early morning, Zatu Gadat, because Gadat alone is morning. So when he says Zatu Gadat, it's like Tawqid. So it was very early when he went out, alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa alayhi mirtun. And he had a garment. This mirt is not like milhafa. You see, most of his clothes is tie. Just one round, like a rida, is the general name for all of them when they are up. But when they are down, it is called what? Iza. So he was always wearing also rida and iza. And don't forget, he had qamis also that he wore. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So, but this mirror, these garments that he was wearing, it is from what? Sha'rin aswad. Black hair. Hairs of animals. It's made from hairs of animals. He wore it in black. So one could wear black. Alayhi salatu wasalam, he wore black. From the major evidences that can be taken from that hadith. Our last hadith is the hadith of Mughira bin Shu'bah. Radiallahu anhu. He said, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لبس جبة رومية ضيقة الكمين. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لبس جبة رومية ضيقة الكمين. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم wore جبة garment also. But this jubba is rumiya. It's made from robe. But there are riwayat in Bukhari and Muslim that it is jubbatun shamiya. So what do we do? The ulama say the issue was that Sham was under Rome at the time. So if he said Jubbatun, if the reporter said Jubbatun Rumiya, it meant Jubba that came from Sham under the control of what? Rome. And those reports that mentioned Shamiya showed that it was actually talking about what? Sham. But at the time, Sham was under Rome. There are other explanations. Some others say that it is Jubbatun Rumiyatun because the way it was sown was the way the people of Rome used to sow. Some say no. The way it was sown is the way the people of Rome used to sow, but it was made in Sham. Some say it is vice versa. It was the way the people of Sham used to sow, but it was made in Rome. And it was brought to Rome, to Sham, from Rome, in whichever of the cases. But it was that came from Sham, which was under Rome at the time. So there are no conflicts in those reports, inshallah. So anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam labisa jubbatan rumiyatan dayyiqat al-kumayn. He said the sleeves are dayyiqa, the sleeves are tight. This happened in the Ghazwa of Tabuk, because it was said that Kumain, the sleeves were so tight that when he wanted to perform ablution, alayhi salatu wasalam, he removed his hands from under the clothes. In Ghazwa to Tabu, it is the same jubba that he was wearing. It is the same clothes, jubba to Romia, that he was wearing on that day. As is mentioned in other riwayat. So he wanted to perform wudu, he could not roll the sleeves. Instead, he removed his hands from beneath it. Some scholars say he will only dress like that when he's traveling. Some say no, he dressed like that for that journey because it was cold. And you know, when there is cold, he wear clothes that are what? Tight-fitting. That was why that sleeve was tight-fitting. That he's not known to be wearing those kind of clothes in Medina. In fact, one of those who defended that gateway was an Imam Ibn Hajar al-Haytham. He's not known to wear clothes that are so tight on him. There is cold or there's a reason, perhaps for war or something. What he is known for, alayhi salatu wasalam, is to wear clothes that are what? Free-flowing. And don't forget to mention that the zirara of his clothes is what? Mutlaq. You remember that? We read that in the last class. So his clothes are usually free and open. So when it now became tight, but you talk to Kumain, then there is a reason for that. So they say, well, perhaps because it was cold and he wore that. Some even say there's nothing that prevents that he was not wearing another clothes on top of that. Such that that's like the way we wear our, is it sweaters, we call it now, inside, and then we wear a cloth outside when there is very cold. So they say that's the reason why he wears something that is bayyiqat al-kumayn, that the sleeves are tied together. This is the last hadith in this bab. Babu Maja'a fi libas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The chapter on what was reported on his clothes. So sometimes he wore qamis, sometimes he wore jubba, sometimes he wore al-shibra, sometimes he wore other types of clothes. He wore green, he wore reddish color, he wore blue, he wore white, and encouraged us to wear. Yes, there is report that he wore white. He wore white, and he wore other colors. But the best of those that he wore most were the shibra and the what? The qamis. And his clothes are usually free-flowing, and they do not exceed his ankle. At least they don't exceed his ankle. Yes, we should not wear clothes that exceed ankles. But we are certain that they are always on the shin. Wore clothes that are okay. I understand why he was talking about chin and shin. The chin is here, around the jaw. But the shin is the bone. He's a teacher, he's a class teacher. So the shin is the bone between the knee and the ankle. But the chin is the bone around the jaw area. I think the jawbone is that called the chin bone. Is it? C-H-I-N. Huh? The jawbone is called the chin bone. Huh? So we beg Allah to make us understand better than we have explained. So that is how the Prophet dressed, alayhi salam. And that was what he used to wear. He wore clothes that are embroidered and that are striped sometimes. Sometimes he wore white. Alayhi salam. It's as if it's preparing to rain. And I think that's going to be our own first wrinkle. Inshallah, if it rains, there's a sunnah connected to that. So the first rain, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he will go out in the first rain and expose his body to the rain. When he was asked, why did he do that? He said, فَإِنَّهَا حَدِيثُ الْأَحْدِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Because it is new, it is coming newly from its Lord. So he allowed the clothes, they said he opened his clothes, that the rain touched his clothes, his body itself. And he stayed there for some time before he went back inside, alayhi salam. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. When it rains, do the sunnah and get the reward. If there are, if there are one or two questions, alayhi salam. The first bar, which bar? Babu Khalki Rasulullah.
What would that have been? There are issues for finding red food.
Yes. What is the question now? You are reminding me, or you are asking where we are studying? I think there's a chapter, there's a bab on the colors that he likes best, Ali. Okay. I was thinking that there's a bab on loan. If there's no bab on loan, we'll treat it specially. We'll see that we'll treat it one whole day, inshallah. But let's go on, inshallah. Samahu. This is me.
Now, the prayer,
you are
starting.
Ayah. There are riwayat. As a shahid. Now, that arm is al-bayaniya, al-tafsiriya. Like the kama itself. So, in ma'na, they are the same. Anka sautani li annaka kasautani. So kama kasautani li annaka aidan kasautani. It's tafsiriya, all of them. Li ta'lil yani. Alaykum as-salam. Can somebody seek to be helped in the mosque? Well, I don't know anything wrong with that. There is a hadith, man sanna fil islam sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha. May Allah make it a beneficial one. So, that hadith has a sabab. The sabab of it were the tribe who came. They came to stay in Medina. But they were so poor, they didn't have anything to eat nor drink. So they told the Prophet. The Prophet stood up after Salah and begged the people to give them something. Nobody stood up. The Prophet spoke, encouraging them. Nobody stood up. One of the companions looked and said, nobody is standing up. The Prophet has been talking. He stood up and gave them something. Everybody stood up. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها. What that prophet indeed was to establish a sunnah in Islam. What is that sunnah? It is sunnah to give the people. But he made a hiya of sunnah. He started a sunnah that is known in the deen already. So he says, فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا. He has the reward of what he has started, and the reward of those who did that thing because he did it too. So you see from that Sababul Wurud that he asked for them in the masjid. And people were giving them in the masjid. So I wouldn't know why people will say that it is not permissible for somebody or for a person to be asked for in the masjid, except if it is becoming a problem to the community. Because things like this become problems to the people. And from the problems that has itself brought about this one is because we care for ourselves less. If there are communities where people do a lot of sadaqah, people pay zakah, most of these people who will ask, who are asking will not be asking. They too will be giving people. So, but when somebody can spend 179 billion alone, then you know that there is a problem in that kind of a community. So people will be impoverished. Not the money that belongs to him. So those people that are supposed to get it from the 179 billion, there is something that will, there is reverse effect of that 179 billion they are spending. Each state should take 5 billion. There is a reverse effect of that. Each DPO should take, that's it's in the newspaper, each DPO should take 500,000. It's a reverse effect. Each NEC should take 1 million. There's a reverse effect on that. So people who lead people should fear Allah. And they should know that there is the day of Hisab. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونٌ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allahu a'lam. Alaykum salam. There is no text that prohibits it. But they should wear it properly, that it does not show anything of them. The brother remained silent when I said there is no text that prohibits it. I'm sure he felt somehow. Because your question said, can they wear it? Is it permissible? Yes, it's permissible. Well, you can say other colors is better, like wearing black. It's most common amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu. But there are narrations that they wore other colors too. There are hadiths in Sahih Bukhari that Aisha wore green. Hadiths in Sahih Bukhari. So they could wear other colors. There are other narrations that some wear other colors apart from green. And this is the issues from the issues of Mu'amalat. And the answer in it is Al-Ibah. It is basically permissible. So, if you say, I do wear Aisha wore green. In fact, she wore other colors that's not green. Let me not say that one. Go and read the Bible, Marathi Muslim, and you see there. They wore other colors except green. So the asl is al-ibaha. But the best for them to wear is black. The annaha aftar. Because it's more covering for them. And the Sharia encourages that they be covered. But if that covering could be achieved by wearing white, yes, they should. But there are women who wear white clothes here around us. Let's say that too. They wear white uniforms. There is a school that wears white uniform. It's mainly female school. Most of the time, the women are harassed, even in their dressing. They always have to guide themselves. They should wear white clothes that are thick, that will not show anything of them. But most of the time, people wear those white, yes, but light such that they start, they are embarrassed themselves. So if other colors is better, why white? If the white, any wind that blows, they are embarrassed. Even when there's no wind, why then wear white? Why white? Especially for women. More so, when the males in that same madrasa wear white also. Do we understand? Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz was asked the same. Oh, don't they wear white? In the school. They wear white. The males, I mean. Males wear white. Uh-huh. Sheikh bin Baz was asked this question you asked. He said, yes, basically it is permissible, but women should not wear it in Saudi Arabia. He said, because here in Saudi Arabia, white is known as a man's clothes. So if a woman wears white, she'll be dressing like a man here. So now, what do you think he will say when a man and a woman will be in the same school and they are wearing the same white? Now, if the men wear white now, wear white because it's the best for you. But what about the women? Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, from what she said, the hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, that when the verse of hijab was revealed, the women were in black. من الأكسية من أكسية السود يلبسنها. They were dressed in أكسية السود, garments that are black. They covered themselves with it. So even if they are not wearing black, they could wear other colors, but not white. When the men are also wearing all white, there is faith in that kind of wearing white, either for the men or for women, but more for the women, because they are the ones that should reserve that white for the men when there are cases of conflicts like this. But also, it doesn't mean a woman cannot wear white inside her husband's house. She can have white inner garments that she wears. But I think your question is connected to what she wears outside. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. That was concerning what? What we should eat? Can one eat a toad? There is a hadith on that. The hadith is on Sunan Abi Dawud about someone who wants to use a toad. But there's a difference between a toad and a frog. But I can't remember which of them particularly. That was why I kept silent for some time. I've written something on it before, but I can't remember now some details. Is it a toad or a frog? It's been long, over 6 years now. Was it on touch? Let me not take what you have said. You ready? I can't remember now, but the hadith is authentic. I wouldn't know if it is a toad or a frog. He prevented it, alayhi. So from the qawaid with which the scholars know what is permissible to eat and what's not permissible to eat is, if he tells us, like he said about dogs, he says, وَلَوْلَا أَنَّ الْكِلَابَ أُمَّةٌ لَأَمَرْتُمْ بِقَتْلِهَا. Were it not that the dogs were an ummah, I would have told you everywhere you go, you see a dog, kill it. Ulama say it's one of the things that shows that eating dogs is not permissible. Because if we were to have been permitted to kill every dog, which one would we be eating? And Imam Shawkani mentioned that in Nailul Awthar. Do we understand? So whatever he says, kill. He says in Bukhari and Muslim that when we say the fawaisiqa al-khamsa, imma fil hil aw fil haram, he says faqtuluha. If you see any of the fawaisiqa, there are five things that are called fawaisiqa. We know them ko? Al-fa'aratu, the what? The rat. Then the voracious dog. Then the scorpion. Then there's a snake, a snake type, black snake. He mentioned five of them. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So whether you are in the state of ihram or you are not in the state of ihram, if you see these things, kill these things. This hadith is evidence that those things are not permissible as what? As food. Because he told me, wherever I see, kill it. If wherever I see, I kill it. Wherever I see, I kill it. What will I be eating? Ulama take a qaida from that. They also take a qaida from whatever he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that don't kill so things. Like he spoke about, like the hadith on cats. Because the one who killed a cat, the woman who suffered a cat until it died, was mentioned to be punished in the fire for that. So the ulama, like an Imam al-Nawawi, drew evidence that is evidence that killing cats is not permissible. So if you have to kill a cat, if you have to eat a cat, you have to kill a cat. Well, he has prohibited you from killing a cat. It means eating a cat is prohibited too. So they draw evidence from the two. If you say kill so, it means it's not permissible for food. If you say don't kill so, it means that thing is not also permissible for food. So in this case, he prohibited that doctor from using that toad or frog, that I can't remember which of them exactly it is, and there is different things to toads and frogs. He prohibited him from killing it to use it for medical purposes. That means it's not permissible to eat toads and frogs. Do you understand? Because he prohibited that person from killing the toad or frog. It means it's not permissible to eat it. If it's not permissible to kill it, how will you will we have eaten it? Except those things that come from the sea. It says, "Uhilla lakum saydul bahar wa ta'amuhu mata'an lakum." So anything, don't say what is sayara. It's not from mahal shay. So whatever is in the sea, eat it, dead or alive. Whether you found it dead, or whether you found it what? Alive. So when the companions found a whale alive, they ate it. They were hungry. The hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, I'm sorry, Bukhari and Muslim. They were traveling. They came to a place, they didn't get food. They didn't get anything to eat. They said, at one point in time, two people will share one day. They didn't have anything to eat. Later, they didn't have anything. They just drink water and Allah provided the whale. That is evidence that you may not do anything and Allah can still provide what you will eat. Not only what will suffice you, but what you will eat and live it. Because they ate from the whale. They ate and took along for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they found it dead. So everything in the sea, dead or alive. And there's a serious discussion here about issues of dead pigs, issues of sea pigs. Ulama discussed it. Imam al-Shinkiti in Adwa al-Bayan. Sea pigs, sea cats, sea lions, sea horses. In fact, before him, some scholars discussed these matters. In fact, one of them mentioned sea humans. But they said he mentioned it fikhan, la hakikatan. He mentioned that if there are human beings, we can confirm that there are human beings that are amphibious. We know that human beings, you know what I mean by amphibious? No. That are what? Marine. Only residents in the sea, that they are residents. If there are amphibious animals, you weigh which one is stronger. Where does it stay more? That's why some of the scholars wanted to say that eating toad is permissible because it is marine. Ulama say no. It stays on the land, it stays in the sea. Where it stays most, it takes the ruling of where it stays most. Some of them say no, this text is clearer than that clear. The text that he prohibited somebody from killing it is a clearer text to reject the permissibility of eating. Is a clearer text than making the qiyas from where does it stay. In any case, so they said those who are talking about sea humans, we are talking about it as a matter of faith. You know, people of faith, they can be thinking that what in this house, this thing is ground land. Like in some of the scholars say, you can find it. They say because there is nothing, that there is a book, Al-Hayawan, by one of the scholars of Saleh. Animals. I saw it there, he discussed it. I have it. If you want to see it, I'll show it to you. That there are sea humans. He said there are sea dogs. We know sea dogs. He said there are sea pigs. That everything that Allah has created on the earth, he has created its equivalent in the sea. That's what he is saying. All of them, أَحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ. Allah has made it permissible for us. He says, وَطَعَامُهُ مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ. What you get there, na enjoyment for you. So it's permissible, inshallah. If we can find a sea human. But I'm sure a farmer a fisherman who throws a net and catches something looking like a human, he will throw it back. He will throw it back into the sea and run away. So those things are, those are some general rules regarding things that we can eat and things that we cannot eat. So that call either of, did he say kill them, did he say leave them alive, it does not apply to sea animals. Any sea animal, as far as it is marine, eat it. I've eaten a shark before. I witnessed when it was killed. I live in riverine area. It was rough. Then when we are going to the school, we will not go to the school first of all go on. For about 4 or 5 days they were butchering, cutting it down. But they said it's not even there because it was just giving back to newly. But they brought it to the land. That was in Port Harcourt. It was brought on the land. It's just about 4 feet away from our house. So we used to go there. They said go to school, first of all go there first. Go and see the shark. Throughout it was killed. Throughout it was bushed and distributed. We're going there to look at it. So that is seeing a shark with the eyes. Aside from reading it in the books. Or watching it on the TV. Alaykum as-salam.
I think about these people, there was this
yes, it was a fiction. Because I was then, that time I was writing things about permissible food. There was even a case in Russia. Now one of the reasons why communism fell was that they caught a sea human, and the sea human warned them not to kill it, and they killed it, or that is something like that. And because he told them that if you kill me, your power will go and all that. And that led to the fall of the. Because I think that's also a fiction. Abu Asma, I think we did something on it one time. So the fiction. Allahu Alam. But in case there is, if there is, mata'an lakum. But I'm sure, that's how people call things when we live in those areas. There are things they call mummy water. That is mummy water. They have the upper side to the human beings, the lower side to the fish. This was well established among the Ijaws. I grew up amongst them. It's not something you can argue in that kind of an environment. That there are no creatures in the sea, half of which is human being and half of which is a fish. You can't say that. But they believe that those things are demons and spirits. So they worship them. But it could be shayateen coming to them from the sea. That's what I used to conclude then. If one shaitan appearing to you people, so then they worship it. But if it can be caught like this, if it's a Muslim, Salafi caught it, mata'an lakum, it's enjoyment for you. If fear and apprehension allows you to be able to caught it. But I'm sure some of us who want to make use of nusus shar'iyya, we caught it. It's a nafs. You want to oppress the nafs. When they catch it, they will not leave it. If it's like the companions, and they will not leave it. We end with this case of Khalid ibn Walid. Khalid ibn Walid was sent to Taif to go and destroy some of the idols there. It was said that it is the idol of Allah. When he got there, the Prophet told him, when you get there, remove your sword. Whatever you see, destroy it. When he got there, he removed his sword, he destroyed the idol, but something like a human being appeared to him, black and with tied hair. This kisa is in Akhbar Makkah by Imam al-Faqihani. It is mentioned to be Hassan. So he saw it, because he saw it's a woman, black, say I left it. And I came back to say, I've already destroyed the idol. The Prophet said, when you destroy the idol, what did he say? So I saw one black woman. I said, go back. That is the jinn inside it that people are worshipping. So you know how he will feel now? So he went back there. He saw it. He said, I butchered it. Today people will be afraid. They say, Prophet said, I should kill you. I will kill you. So he butchered the black woman that was inside the idol that they worshipped at the time in Taif. So the scholar said the position where that idol was is still known till today. لا هو على مستوى ان شاء الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، اشهد ان لا اله الا انت، استغفرك واتوب اليك.